Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Why don't we just lift your hands in the presence of God? Yeah, I love that Psalm 121 verse 1 says, I lifted my eyes to the mountains, to the Lord. This is where my help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Truly, friends, I don't know where you've been looking, but there's something that the psalmist says. He says, I'm going to lift my eyes to the Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we don't actually have to wait to the end of the service for you to heal or to set us free. And if you need a miracle today, you're in the right spot because God's in the room. So, God, we thank you for those who maybe need a miracle to do with finance. Maybe that's the big deal at the moment. Sell a house, buy land, pay off some debt. God, that you will make a way for us. Something can shift for us today because you are God. Or maybe it is to do with anxiety or depression. Maybe that's the big deal at the moment. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we lift. This is where my help's coming from. Something is going to turn, shift for me today. Or maybe the doctors have said, this is your forever now. You've got cancer or Parkinson's disease or arthritis in your body. It's simply not true, friends. Because the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. And so we believe, we lift, we shift. Everything is turning now. Everything is coming. And I'm prophesying and I'm believing this morning, the very fact that you walked into the room today is maybe is enough faith for God to do what he needs to do. And maybe you're here and you're saying, I don't know how it's going to happen, Lord. But I'm telling you right now, God can make a way for you today. I'm prophesying for a new day for you in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a proper clap if you believe that. Isn't he good? Isn't he kind? I think he is. Good job, everybody. Have a seat. Turn to somebody and say, I like that guy. Just say that. It's good. Well, bless you. And as I said, we met for the first time yesterday. And what beautiful pastors you have got. Walked in this morning and thought, Az, you look like a teenager. You're just so young, so good looking. And he married a supermodel and it's like, wow, this is amazing. That's, you know, as Janine, as she has my wife, I've got two boys, Samuel and Jonathan, but Janine had modeled in Paris, so she was like a model. And when I married her, obviously I got a pay increase, like an upgrade. That's where you get the upgrade. I was at a conference one time and I said, Lord, how did I get Janine? You know, obviously I'm not that. And the Lord said to me, Andrew, it's because you tithed while you're younger. Is that what you say as well? Yeah. And actually, as I tithed 20%, and that's why I just got a little bit better than most. If you're sitting beside a 10%er, well, that's your fault. I found out after 2 years of marriage. I've been married to Janine that she never tithed. Some of you, anyway. Actually, I'm pretty funny. So if you are wondering about a healing evangelist and what's going to happen, I do like telling a few jokes here and there. But basically, I'm blessed beyond blessed to be married to my beautiful wife, Janine. 26 years, two great boys, and we live in Shell Cove, and we have a church in Wollongong called Believe Church, and we planted that 7 years ago, and I'm excited. We just started our healing services Sunday morning, and we do that live around the world. We have people writing into us from every continent, and we pray for them live. And we've been doing that for about a year on Sunday nights, but we've brought it into the church. It was our largest church service last weekend, as we did that. We had families flying in from Melbourne and driving 6 hours from New South Wales, Sydney and beyond to come to the service. And the amazing things have been happening in our church. Peter Scarborough drove up from Melbourne, who had Parkinson's disease, and he's been healed, and his testimony is online. He's already got 300,000 views on YouTube. And when I was in America, we had people flying in from all around America to come to the service who had Parkinson's disease to be healed in service. And God's on the move. And I love your pastors. There would be a few churches in the world, actually. You may think this is a strange comment. They would take a Sunday morning and pray for the miraculous. You know, a lot of people like talking about it. But actually to take time for their people and say, we're believing for a miracle. And we need to honor your pastors for their stretch and their belief in the supernatural. And thank you so much for doing that. I can tell you lots of stories about healings and miracles. But I just want to share a simple message, and then we're going to pray for people. And then tonight, I'd like you to come back. I'd like to invite you some friends so we can have more time to pray for people personally. I like taking time with people. People are important. And so if you allow us to do that, that would be amazing. Tonight is going to be full, so please come early and bring your neighbors, bring your friends, bring your dad. My dad had crippling arthritis. He wasn't saved. He was 86 years old. Flew over to New Zealand, prayed for him with another friend called Scott Sangways, Sanger. And God healed him, and then I was able to lead him to the Lord as well. So if you've got an unsaved dad, now's the time to bring him to church, and let's get dad healed, saved, and that'll be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. Tough crowd. Okay. Forget about your dad. Okay, all right then. I want to talk to you about the miracles and the stretch. Mark 3. 1-6, it says, another time Jesus was in the synagogue with a man with a short hand was there, and some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the short hand, stand up in front of everybody. And then Jesus asked them, which is lawful lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent and looked around at anger and distressed at their stubborn hearts. That's the problem right there. Stubbornness. Another word for stubbornness is pride. Pride lives in men. I'm so glad that you're having a men's revival meeting on a 5 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, because when that starts to take off, when actually men humble themselves and pray, something is going to shift in the church. I prophesy right now, this church is about to double and triple when men come together and pray. Because when they drop their stubborn hearts, when they drop their stubborn hearts and say, I can no longer do it on my strength, but I've got to do it on his strength, that's a game changer. Pride's the thing that took the devil out of heaven and sent him to hell. Pride's the thing that says, I'll go and do it my way. I'm not going to humble myself. I'm not going to be honest with God. I'm going to remain beaten up, broken, depressed, and nobody will even know. Stubbornness. These people had a stubborn heart, and God was angry at it. He doesn't really get angry at a whole bunch of things, but he doesn't like that stubborn anger. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and he was completely restored. Then the Pharisees began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. I think it's interesting that, as I alluded to, we all have things that are broken in our lives. This guy had a withered hand. In the old days, if you had a disability, you wouldn't be allowed to be in the church. You'd have to be at the gate or at the door, but you wouldn't be allowed in service. But this guy, I don't know how or why he thought he could come in, but maybe it was because of the beggar's tents. I'd imagine, you know, they didn't have social media, they didn't have Instagram back in the day. So when they were hearing the stories, warming their hands at nighttime around the fires of the beggars' tents, surely there would be rumors now. Surely there'd be rumors that Jesus could heal. For the first time in the history of their world, lepers are now healed. Through all the tents, there's a God who heals. Even lepers are healed. And the man with the shriveled hand could have been in that moment, hearing that Jesus is now passing through. So he would have snuck through, put his hand in his coat and turned up to church that day, hiding the thing that was broken in his life. And isn't that a picture of us? All fancy dancy, got our latte before church, coming in. But actually, if people would know that actually you're a mess, broken. But we come, we hide our thing. Maybe not as obvious as the man with the shriveled hand, but sure, this thing's going on. And so here he is in church, broken. And so Jesus says to the, I want you to stand up in front of everybody. Well, I love that. We forget that these stories are real. You know what I mean? Like this guy, he's heard about Jesus, but he's probably in the back two rows, you know, just hiding in there. That's where we kind of live. And just not really, just wanting to be conspicuous. But the guy says, Jesus said, hey, this guy over here, stand up. I would definitely give God the shake. Anybody give it? Has God said something to you and you've gone, no. That's a no. Somewhere in your life you have to stand for Christ. Somewhere in your life you have to stand for your miracle. Somewhere you have to say, devil, not today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not going to live with depression, anxiety. I'm not going to live with this thing that's been tormenting me all these years. If Pastor Az is believing and says that this month is a month of miracles, I'm going to step into something fresh. My tomorrow is going to be better because of what's happening today. Something is going to turn in your life. So my story is I had leukemia from the age of 13 to 18. I'm the youngest of 8 in my family. Very cold in New Zealand. That's why there's so many children. Yes. Brought up in a very traditional Catholic background. And so part of my story is that when I was diagnosed with leukemia, it was very serious. And back in the day, not many people survived the treatments. But anyway, I was in remission. The story's longer, and I'll share a bit of it tonight. But when you're the sick kid in school, who knows that you don't really get teased? Like, if you're a little bit sick, massively teased. If you're dying sick, inappropriate. That's true. A little bit sick, tease the guy. Dying sick? No. Leave the guy alone. He's dying. I was that guy. I was in and out of school, and I didn't really like school. I had no hair, and I remember this one day at class, I had one of those little caps on, and for whatever reason, we walked out for our lunch break, and one of the teachers said, sir, no caps in school, and he took my cap off, and one of my friends went over and says, Mr. Fitzgerald, Andrew's allowed a cap. He's the sick kid. It's amazing how you can make a decision in a flash. I made a decision from now on, I will only wear black. Funny, isn't it? Black trench coat, went down to the Salvation Army unit shop and got the get up. I had a little moustache. I was 15 years old. And I got my sister's toilet brush thing. What do you call it? mascara, thank you. And, And, filled in the gaps. Because it was gangster. I was the tough guy now, Hebrew. And smoking drugs with two of my school teachers. Because my brothers were older than me and introduced me to that kind of carry on. And I would miss school all the time, just skip school because I was the sick kid and I could pretty much do whatever I wanted. I was in remission at the time. And there was one class I'd never miss, and that was geography. And that's because I was sitting beside the prettiest girl in school. And Janine, if you're listening, she's nothing compared to you. But at the time, she was a fox. And I really liked her, and she was a Christian. And I'd say, hey, you know, me and you should get together. And she'd be like, no, 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 no. And she went home and told her mum. She said, you know, I'm sitting beside the naughtiest kid in school, Andrew Kabbalah. And, you know, just so annoying. And her mum said, you got to invite him to youth group. And Lisa said, he's unsavable. Anyway, this one day, just before lunchtime, Lisa turned to me and said, Andrew, would you like to go to a youth group with me? So I'm thinking she's asking me on a date. And I said, yes. I said, what's youth group? And she said, well, you know, we get to talk about God and stuff. And I said, yeah. So I remember picking Lisa up, walking into this youth group. There's no more than 20 people in the room at somebody's house, but three even more prettier girls than her. So I didn't really care what they talked about. And they were so friendly, these Christian girls, like so attentive. And I was like, wow. I mean, if it was a Muslim group, I would have been a Muslim for sure. 100%. That was so convincing. And then the youth pastor, after a few weeks, says, Andrew, do you want to become a Christian? I said, no. He said, why not? I said, well, I go to Mass every Sunday. It's compulsory in our family. And he said, just because you go to McDonald's every day doesn't make you a hamburger. And just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. And I was like, cuckoo, like, that doesn't make sense to me. I was told if you went, you're a Christian. Listen, just because our music's different doesn't mean the same doesn't apply. Just because you attend here doesn't make you a Christian. Hello? Just because you lift your hands every now and then, or forget it. It's a living, active relationship with Jesus that makes the difference. And he said to me, Andrew, if you ask Jesus into your life, you can be forgiven of your sins. I already heard about that in Catholic Church. But then you can have a relationship with God. That's the game changer. I didn't know about that because I thought the guy at the front got the download and then he told you what was happening. But God would be interested in me, newsflash. And he said, so do you want to pray and ask Jesus into your life? Now, listen to me. I was never afraid of prayer. I've prayed all my life. But just never thinking that God is actually going to talk back to me. And so in front of all my friends, I stood and prayed a prayer asking Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior, saying, God, forgive me for all of my sins. And I'm telling you right now, church, what I want to emphasize this weekend is prayer is powerful. Prayer can change everything. And I am amazed and continually amazed that prayer can not only change your eternity. The one minute you're not going to heaven, and now you are. And now, and because of that decision and because of that commitment, your whole life, your eternity has changed because of a prayer. The one minute you're in a wheelchair, and now you're walking out of a wheelchair because of a prayer. Shut the gate. That's how powerful prayer is. And as that's how I know that men's prayer meeting is going to change this region and this city for Christ. Because as we're praying, something's going to turn, something's going to happen. And so my life has radically changed because of that. 6 weeks after that, the leukemia came back. Very disappointed about that. When I thought you'd become a Christian, you know, everything would go your way. The moon would be moonier. Girls would just drop at your feet. I don't know. But certainly would not get sick. The first time I blamed God, the second time I embraced him. I had felt like the whole world praying for me. My mum was buying prayers from nuns in Rome. I had like rosary beads all down my bed. I had water from Lourdes. You won't even know what that is, but a special healing water seemingly. And all these things were happening. And I had my Presbyterian church friends praying. My mum had the whole Catholic community praying. Who knows what I'm talking about? I don't even know about that kind of stuff. Well, that's where I was living. When I was 17 years old, I had a bone marrow transplant. Things weren't going so good at the time. And the doctors told me I was terminal, which is actually a bad day. And my Catholic priest from my mum and dad's side had arranged him to give me my last rites, preparing me for burial. So at that point, you pretty much think you're going to die. And then shortly after, my youth pastors walked in holding a big Bible and said, "Andrew, we believe that God can heal you." I was like, "That's nice." And because I'm standing here and saying that God can heal you, but you're not convinced yet. Not convinced yet. It's all a good message, and he's quite funny, but not convinced yet. And that's a funny place to be, isn't it? Because we can believe for other people's miracles, but it's hard to believe for our miracle. And I'm a little boy, 17 years old, frightened, scared, and they've come in smiling, saying, "We believe in a different report. We believe that God can heal you." And so, there we go. I said, "Well, come on then, pray for me." Not fully knowing or expecting anything to change. No way. Just like another prepare me for burial service. But they had faith. They had faith in their bones. When he put his hand on me, I could feel the power of God into my chest. Tears were dripping down my cheeks. The doctor said the very next day I was getting hourly blood tests. "Andrew, your blood has changed. Something has shifted for you." Now, I want to premise this by saying I didn't run out of my bed, start doing push-ups and sit-ups. No, there was a time where I had to be healed. But at that moment, I believed that something shifted for me. You have to stand for Christ somewhere in your life. God often in the Bible asks people to be involved in the miracle, big or small. Dip yourself in a river, show your hand to the priest, go do big or small things. But God uses us and our free will to be involved in the miracle. Will you stand for Christ? You don't have to know everything. You don't have to understand everything. It's just standing and saying, "God, today is the day for me." You know, I want you to know that Jesus is on your side. You know, they went out to plot with the Herodians how they might kill him. You know, in church world, we say this: I got saved in church. How do we get saved? Because we understand that the Bible teaches us that by Jesus dying on the cross, we accept his salvation, the perfect gift of him dying as this man without sin, taking upon him our sin. So yeah, I get that. I understand that. We've gone to new Christians classes and we all dial into that. On the same day, it says by his stripes we're healed. What does that mean? Every whipping, every beating had purpose. So I'm standing here saying, with full confidence, I know he wants you to be healed. He wants you to be set free today. Because the same thing that happened for our salvation and we accepted it, sometimes there's a question mark whether God will do it. But he's gone to that kind of length. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's gone to that kind of length. Every beating, everything, he is for you. He wants you to win. He's a good, he's kind. He's a loving God and he wants you to win. And I think it's important to emphasize that because we still often can have a question mark for that. I wonder if the worship team could join me. And I just got to skip through these things because I want to pray for people. But I love this because then Jesus just says to the guy, stretch out your hand. So let's go back to the story. Third row, back third row. Now he's standing, a little bit red-faced. Yeah. I'm just here, nothing to see here, nothing broken here. Stretch out your hand. Come on, somebody. If this wasn't real, we, you know, like, but firm no. I'm not. Okay, well, wait a minute. Wouldn't you peek first? Come on. Wouldn't you peek first? I would. I'm a peeker. It's not healed yet. You see, we want the miracle before the stretch. We want God to heal the broken thing before we give it to him. That's not how it works. Give me the thing that's broken in your life. Give it to me. Put it on an altar. And then I can heal it. But if you're hiding it week after week, month after month, year after year, you will stay and remain broken. I said in my church, as I don't know if I'm a good pastor or not, but I would say to my church just about every week, when's the last time you're honest with God? If he's real, and this is who we lift our hands up, don't you know that he knows? Who are you fooling? He was angry because they had stubborn hearts. Who's he talking to? Is he talking to you today? Stretch out your hand. Whew. Where was the miracle? When he did that, he was like, wow, shut the gate. Where was the miracle for me? 5 years in and out of hospital. Massive doses of chemotherapy, radiotherapy, experimental treatments. Here I am in my last moments. These guys walk in and say, hey, we believe in a different report. I could have said to them, get out of my hospital room. Why get my hopes up now after 5 years? You know what I'm talking about. Why get my hopes up? Why tease me and give me a little bit of hope now? After all, I could have said to them, leave me alone. Let me just die. I didn't have faith. I had no faith. Where was the miracle for me? The miracle for me was even in my disbelief, allowing them to pray for me was enough seed, a whiff, a sniff of faith for God to do what he needed to do in my life. So when they prayed for me, and maybe you just walking into the room today was enough. Maybe deciding, you know what, I'm going to come back tonight is enough. Even though you're uncertain, and we are all uncertain, but coming and saying, God, here I am. I'm standing for my miracle today. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be completely honest, God. And let God come in to your life. We're going to do two things this morning. First thing is we're going to address the condition of our soul. The truth is, you can get to heaven with cancer in your life, but you can't get to heaven with sin in your life. Let me say that one more time, because some of you got confused by that. You can get to heaven with cancer in your life, but you can't get to heaven out of relationship with God. Otherwise, the cross is a mockery. What Jesus did on the cross, this great sacrifice he did, didn't mean anything. It means everything. And I really believe that this morning there's going to be a revival in our church, because people are going to be honest with God, have an authentic moment with God, and lives are going to be changed. I'm believing as for people with Parkinson's in your church to be healed today, cancer going to be set free, people with tumors, people who can't have children are going to have children. I'm believing that something's going to turn around. We have had literally thousands of people who have written into our ministry saying all the healings that have taken place. 53 people have written in saying that they walked out of wheelchairs. Hillsong, South Africa, lady 20 years walked out of a wheelchair at the end of the service who couldn't walk. So many miracles. Come on, Beacon Church. Let this be the day that the Lord has made for you. Your pastors have been praying, fasting, seeking God for this moment. This is not a coincidence. I believe over the atmosphere in this place, healing and miracles have come here today. In fact, even as I'm standing here, I can feel the presence of God and healing coming in. I feel like my hands have got like my dad's lawn bowls or something, like a weight on them. And I know that's miracles for people's lives. Come on, church, why don't we just take a minute just to close our eyes? The psalmist says, I lifted up my eyes to the Lord. That's what we're doing. Because this is where your help comes from. And let me just address that condition of our soul. And God, we thank you, Lord, for those people who are here for the first time. Second time, maybe visiting from another church. They're saying, Andrew, it's true, I know about God, but if I'm honest, I'm not really in relationship with him. But something has to turn for me. Maybe you're here and you say, Andrew, you know what? If I was to face death like you had to as a teenager when you had leukemia, if I was to walk out of this room and get hit by a car, stand before God, I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. If I'm honest, there'd be a massive uncertainty around that moment, because you're just not sure if you're in a relationship with him. I want you to ask this question with every head bowed, because I want to explain what's going to happen. I want you to ask this question to God: am I in relationship with him? And as soon as you do that, he'll tell you. There may not be a burning bush, like a voice from heaven, from the roof, shouting at you, but there will be a knowing in your knower, a prompting. In fact, for many people in this room, you already know. So it's not whether you know or not, it's whether you'll be obedient or not. Whether you'll humble yourself or not. That's the question, where you'll be honest with God or not. And then the end of my prayer, just where you sit it. If you want to pray the prayer that I prayed when I was 15 years old, I want you to lift up your hand just where you are, just as simple as that. Then all together and out loud, we're going to pray that prayer. So you feel encouraged and loved and supported. That's what church does. And I'm believing that something's going to turn for you, and then we're going to pray for some healing. So right here, right now, if you're in one of those categories, you're saying, Andrew, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, or uncertainty of my salvation, but one thing I'm for sure, I don't know if I'm in relationship with God. Not like you're talking about, Pastor Andrew, but something needs to turn for me. Friend, if that's you, come on, just slip up your hand, say, Andrew, I'm going to include that prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me? Many hands getting lifted. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me? Something has to turn. Something has to shift. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me? Something has to turn for me. This cannot be my forever. No, it cannot be my forever. Something has to turn. Will you stand for your miracle? Will you stand for Christ? Will you be honest before God today? Come on, I'm asking you one more time. Lift up your hand. If you say, that's me, I need to do this. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else? Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Who else? You're saying, Andrew, I'm going to be honest with God. This is my, something is shifting for me. Something is turning for me. Miracle after miracle. I'm going to stand for Christ in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Other hands lifted up. Listen, why don't we do it this way? Because I believe that God sees everything. I want you to know that you are seen by God. Every person that lifted their hand, or maybe didn't lift their hand, but you know you should, would you do me the honor of lifting it high one more time so I can see? I'd like to count. I'm going to start on the right hand side. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28 people. Come on, give God a big clap for doing amazing. Amazing. Let me pray for you. Come on, put your hand on your heart. Pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I'm asking you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. I give you total control. Help me live for you every day in your presence. Forgive me for any sin because you died on that cross to take away the sin of the world. Take away my sin. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you for every person here on this altar. And all those people who lifted their hand, or maybe didn't even lift their hand, but prayed that prayer with earnest. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would find this church as their home church, a church where miracles, signs, and wonders would happen. And most of all, that they would find that relationship with you and walk in that relationship with you. Holy Spirit, fall on their life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Ayers, come and tell us what we need to do. Give God a big clap.
Hey,
no, it's, you're a good guy, mate. isn't it good? I need to get a cool shirt like that, and yeah I'm going to stop shaving.
Yeah. Just let yourself go.
Yeah, let myself go. Yeah. It's just stay up here for 1 minute. I just feel like there's somebody who's been in a recent car accident, and you've been in a lot of pain. Who would that person be? Don't be shy. Just give me a little wave. Do I have to find you? Oh, no. Don't make me do that. Who are those people in pain right now? Anybody in pain? Oh, down, your hands first. Come on, sweetheart. Come over here. Yeah. Do you want to bring snuggles? Bring your man. Yeah, two, three, four. Doesn't matter. Come over here. How did it happen?
Goes back.
Yeah, what, an accident or?
Three years ago soon, I nearly died through a staph infection.
Oh, wow.
So I had surgery. Well, I did actually die a couple of times. Brought me back. And since then, I've had issues with bone, shoulder, hip. Pain.
Wow. Mm. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Andrew, the healing evangelist. Come over here. No, honestly, we're gonna pray for you. Where would the sorest part of be now in your spine?
Down here, my shoulder.
In your shoulder as well.
Yep.
All right. What's your name again?
Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Andrew.
Now, Deb, just as you're here tonight and today, when I see Deb, I'm thinking this could be my sister,
really?
my very best friend. Actually, it changes the way you pray. Because if your sister was here, you would be standing and your hands would be out. And as a church, we'd be praying in full voice. Because this is the day for Deb. Deb, is that right? Come on, church, why don't we stand? Friend, this is not make believe. This is somebody's life. And she's been suffering for many years now. And I believe this is about to turn. And even as I'm standing here, Deb, in about 10 seconds, you're going to feel warmth come through my hand into your shoulder. In fact, I can feel it now even. Can you feel that too, Deb? That's what healing feels like. It's the power of God coming into your life. Now, Deb, the whole church is praying loudly. Like the men's prayer meeting. Come on, loudly. Come on, guys. Because it's called the Corporate Anointing Church. And as we're praying, waves of healing falling off Deb. And Deb, I'm just going to say a few things, okay? It's nothing personal, but I'm going to tell the devil to get off. Pain's the spirit. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, right now, that you saved Deb. You rose her up, Lord, in Jesus' name, for a purpose. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now, infirmity, sickness, I bind it and break its power over Deb. And I command freedom to come into her life, healing to come into her life in the name of Jesus. Actually, everything is about to turn now. Not just her shoulder, but down her spine, through all her ligaments, all of her muscles. Deb just got stronger. I can feel it. Can you feel that as well? Healing coming into your body. Turning now. Shifting now. Shift off her in Jesus' name. All this torment. Deb, I feel like the Lord is saying you've been prayed for before. But I'm telling you right now, today is going to be a game changer. Pastor Az, I see a video of Deb, like going through the movement of her healing. I see doctor's reports saying I could not believe that 1 minute in a church service has turned years of pain. Your sleep, God's talking to me about your sleep. You've been waking up 3 o'clock in the morning, tormented. But that's stopping today in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord. Is that true, Deb?
It is true.
It's true. Everything is about to turn now in Jesus' name. Here comes the power of God just falling on your life. Falling, let it fall, let it fall. Deb, they got you. Who's this guy? He's the youth pastor. Stop hugging married women, for goodness. He's
married.
Oh, you know. Well, hold on. He's out there somewhere. Deb, just give me shoulder wiggling. How you feel? The anointing was very strong.
I felt it.
You felt it. Bend down, touch your toes or something. I can't even do that. It's very compared to this. How are you feeling? Like, are you looser, like oil?
I am looser.
Yeah.
Feeling better.
You're feeling better? Oh, dear. Get him married, Lord. Amen. Deb, just close your eyes. Lift your hands. Give me 10 more seconds. 10 more seconds. It's the anointing, Deb. I'm telling you. What I feel like is happening, Deb, honestly, I feel like God is saying, it is done. It is done. And that oil is just dripping down your thing. And I will say this to the church, I'll say it many, many times, and say to my congregation too. For the next 48 hours, Deb, just say, God, thank you for healing me. Because it's hard because of every doctor's report, every scan, all the rubbish you had to go through. Hard to believe that a 30-second moment is going to shift everything. But that's exactly what's going to happen.
Thank you, Lord.
And Deb, I'm not. When I prayed for Peter Scarborough and he had, I can't remember what he had, Parkinson's disease. I feel the same anointing when I'm praying for you now. It's heavy on me. I feel like I'm sweating. The power of God coming in your life. It's different now, Deb. It's different now. I feel like oil is coming around your legs, and I feel like it's different. I don't know what else to say. I haven't got the words. Healing coming into your body. As I'm standing here, Deb, I see like a shadow falling off you. What is that shadow? It's pain. A spirit of pain lifting off you now in Jesus' name. Lifting off you now in Jesus' name. Lifting off you now in Jesus' name. Everything turning. Everything shifting in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God's going to restore what the devil has taken from you. In Jesus' name. We should be friends on Facebook or something. Give me some more wiggling. Go down again. Deb, how's your shoulder feeling? Because that was red hot. How's it feeling?
Good.
Does it feel good?
Yeah.
Better?
Better.
Better. Deb, I like you. Yeah, there you go. Who's our other friend? Stay here, Deb, because we've got to pray for her. Just quick, we gotta get. Hello.
Hi.
And this is. Are you married?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's good. Because, anyways, hi. This is Deb.
Yes, I know. Right.
Yeah. Because I think this is a family show. Wrong, but what I'm saying is, this is my sister. My very best friend.
Yep, yep.
And every time I'm praying for somebody, I'm thinking, this is my dad. This could be my son. It changes the way you pray. Because I think, you know, well, we can all go get a coffee or something. But if it was your mum or dad, holy dooly, you'd be in the front. You'd be surrounded them, looking after them. It's all right. You go with Pastor, and I'll look after the shop here. But you know what I mean? Why don't you slip out of your seats? Why don't you slip out of your seats? Come and gather. Come, if you've got a heart for this person, come, can we just be church family? Because this is where are the rules? I'm believing for your miracle today, you know. Thank you for putting your hand up. You're my first. But what's been going on in your life? You've had pain in your body?
Yes, since I was 17 after a water skiing accident.
Wow.
And then, so it's been quite chronic. I've had periods of reprieve and lots of treatments, but no surgeries or anything. And 2 years ago, fell down the stairs at work, broke my foot, and then as a consequence of wearing a moon boot, it put my back out again.
Yeah.
So just, yeah, there is pain every day.
Wow.
My foot, I've only started probably like walking for exercise again.
Right.
But it's burning pain here. When I'm in pain when I worship.
Wow.
I don't let it stop me, but to lift my hands is painful, and all through my neck and
right.
down my legs and my feet.
Wow. I'm so glad you're here, because we're gonna pray for you. Lord, the whole church is coming over here.
Yeah.
Is it all right if I just put my hand in your back? Is it here?
Yeah.
All right. So, what's your name again?
Rach.
He comes, Rach. The anointing of God. Here comes the anointing of God. God, I thank you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name for Rachel. God, I thank you, Lord, right now. Infirmity and sickness, I bind and break its power. Lord, I come against every spoken word, every written word by every doctor and nurse as well, meaning as they are not God. And your word says, by your stripes we are healed in the name of Jesus. And so right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, I command every vertebrae to shift in her life in Jesus' name. Miracle after miracle for her in Jesus' name. Rachel, I can feel my hand. This is before. Warmth coming into your spine, into your back. Miracle working power. Lord, I command every vertebrae straightening, coming, connecting now. Every muscle connecting now. Every ligament, every nerve in and connecting now in Jesus' name. Healing in her foot, healing in every ligament. Father God, that she'd be able to run, laugh for the goodness of God. Miracle after miracle in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, Rachel, I can feel the Holy Ghost coming and touching your life now, coming into your back. You can feel that warmth. So many people say they feel that warmth coming into your back and healing. All these years of pain is going to fall off your life. As I said before, pain's a spirit. And we command that spirit of pain shifting off your life today in the name of Jesus. Here comes Rachel. Here comes the power of God falling over your life. The miracle working power of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Rachel, my hand is on fire. Can you feel that warmth coming into your back? Yeah. Is that really true?
Yes, I can feel your hand is hot.
It's hot. It's not because I've got hot hands. I'm telling you now, it's the power of God coming into your spine, into your healing. That's what healing feels like. It's the miracle-working power of God coming into your life. And I know the wrestle. I know the feeling. But I'm telling you, it's about to change. It's changing on this platform. Miracle, miracle. How I'm describing it is like oil coming around your joints now in your back. It's like oil, just like it felt crunchy, but now it's like oil coming into your back. Healing is coming. I feel like the pain threshold is leaving as well. See, pain going less. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling me. Gone in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord. It's hard to believe that the miracle's happening for me. But Rachel, you were the first person to lift their hand today. And I feel like God saw that hunger. He saw that desire. He's seeing that faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Good. How are you feeling? Just go down a little bit. Rachel, that's 10 times better than me.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it's tight. It's kind of a bit throbbing here.
Yep. Well,
yeah. It's less. It has lessened.
It's lessened.
The pain has lessened there. Yeah.
That's good.
Still there, but less.
No, but listen. That's what I want to say to everybody. I'm going to talk about it tonight, but we have to fight for our miracle as well.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, you know, my story is that I didn't walk out of my bed when I was 17 years old and run around the room. Healing day after day, day after day. How many stories have we had where people have woken up the next day pain-free, saying, I didn't think it would happen for me, but once we got our brain out of the way, it's like the miracle came into our life. And Rachel, I'm so glad that the pain is leaving. How are you feeling, Deb?
I'm feeling good.
You're feeling
great.
Good?
Yeah.
We're good?
Yeah.
We're good? Pastor Az, we're good. Come on, lift your hands right now, just all over this place. Lift your hand, friend. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your miracle-working power. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a way for us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that miracles, signs, and wonders are going to break out in this place. Lord, I thank you for those people who gave their lives to Christ and said yes and amen. And Lord, I pray, Lord, today that they would be filled with joy, love, and hope. I pray, Lord, that our men's prayer meeting is going to have a revival in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.